Holding Pocket.
It's time now for the chipping forecast, issued by Folding Pocket on behalf of Andrew Cotter, Eddie Pepperell, and special guest Ian Carter.
Hello and welcome to Friday night at the Masters, or probably listening in the UK, so Saturday morning as you listen, walking the dog, on your way to park run, whatever you're doing. Dropping the children off with your ex-husband for his weekend with them by court order. We're here for our big halfway roundup of the 2024 Masters. I'm in Augusta. It's me, Andrew Cotter. Ian Carter is in Augusta, but he's not here. He's pleading fatigue and he's taken the night off. We'll hear no more about Golf Wars now being on sale. 300 pages, 250 of them pictures. But the great man is back. Eddie Pepperell has stayed up in the UK to join me for this one. Eddie, how are you?
I'm very well. Yeah, my code for the book of Ian's didn't work. I typed in desperation 24 and it just didn't work. I'm not doing a park run tomorrow and I'm not yet divorced, but I've enjoyed the golf.
Not yet married, but coming soon. Anyway, so so this is the only place to hear the thoughts of Eddie, as you're still on a Twitter detox. How's that going?
I'm filling my time by filling the skip at the house, or carturing the patio, or the decking. Just doing house chores generally. As you can tell, I haven't got around to filling the shelves yet in the background.
It should be Kershaw, because there's an umlaut on the A. Actually, I would say, I was always taught that it would be Kershaw, like Munich would be München. But some people say München for Munich. Anyway, you can hear you in Talk Sport occasionally. I heard you with Ali Brazil and Ali McCoist.
Yeah.
Alan Brazil. Who's Ali Brazil? I don't know who that is.
I've been busy doing the rounds, no more. I'm back to the chipping forecast. And Rory, I'm just watching the golf as we're talking. Rory's just sprayed one way right off 18. I mean, we might have to have a bit of live.
Oh, no, you can't do it. You can't do it. We'll get chucked. You can't do it. Actually, of course, it won't be live by the time it goes out, so it doesn't really matter. But the reason that Eddie has got one eye on the TV and we're not yet at the end of the round is so that the penultimate group of McIlroy, Scheffler, Schauffele are on the 18th as we speak. We just couldn't be bothered waiting anymore. They teed off at 1:48 US time. It's 7:35 at the moment. They're going to be a 6 hour five, 6 hour 10 minute round, Eddie. Now, Windy Miller, I get that. It has been very difficult, but I mean that's painful. That's a lot of backing off.
It is. You have to say, watching the coverage, it looked nigh impossible. In fact, on a couple of occasions, I thought they might call it today. It's clearly been on the brink. I mean, you've been there. You tell me, but that's what it's looked like from the coverage.
Oh, the windiest I've felt. I mean, it was tremendous. I was standing under the tree at one point, and there was any number of napkins blowing around, and the green jackets were in terrible states about this, because litter at Augusta is just unheard of, let alone sort of a herd of wildebeest litter just roaming across the plains. And then hats were going everywhere. It was sort of exciting. I enjoyed it. I enjoy it because Augusta is such a tightly controlled environment and everything has to be perfect, that when raw Mother Nature rolls in and says, no, I shall do what I want. I've enjoyed. But the challenge, as you said, especially in the greens, which they didn't cut quite as short today because of that, but elevated greens, undulating greens, quick greens, and with that wind, I was really surprised that there wasn't at least a few balls moving around in the greens.
Yeah, well, Gary Woodland had one on 16, his roll down the green there. But it's just amazing in 24 hours how, I guess, the firmness of the greens, how they've changed. Like yesterday, it was still windy, again, watching the coverage, but because the greens were so much softer, the players were getting away with it and the scoring was still low. I mean, it has looked impossible this afternoon.
I mean, Scheffler had a 238-yard carry into the wind on the 15th. I mean, he was trying to knock it down there. Anyway, McIlroy's carry was about 245. They all hit, Scheffler, Schauffele, McIlroy, all hitting drive 3-iron or 4-iron to lay up on the 15th, full-blooded 3-iron from Scheffler. So I'm actually at Ian's house as well. So he's still obviously just working for Five Live this evening. So I'm at his house. There are so many wind chimes at this house. I don't think he knows I'm here. I'm like Goldilocks. I mean, she should have been convicted for breaking and entering. But I'm in his house and the wind chimes are going mad. It's been the windiest day I've ever remembered at Augusta. So he might come back while we're still recording this, and I'll be in his bed eating porridge.
Reading his book.
And in no way would that be obvious, reading his book with my recommendation on the front cover. Let me just quickly run down the leaderboard as it stands with that big group on the final hole. So Max Homa 6-under, DeChambeau 6-under, they're both finished. Scheffler 6-under playing the last. Nikolai Højgaard 73 today for 4-under overall. Then Davis, Morikawa, and Ludvig Åberg. What a great round. The only sub-70 round, the only round in the 60s. 69 for Ludvig. He's in seventh place on his own. Mathieu Pavon, Cam Young, Tom Fleetwood, Danny Willett, Ryan Fox, Ben Ann, Matt Fitzpatrick, who is on the last hole as well at the moment, Cam Smith. That's the top 10 players at the moment. And still the name which looms largest, Eddie, is Scheffler. We'll find out what he does on the last in the course of this pod. But today's round, you know, obviously he couldn't avoid bogeys today. That would have been extraordinary. But he's still been managing his way around pretty well.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's played his best golf to me today. And he also doesn't look like he's expended a great deal of energy in spite of the conditions. We've seen Cantlay fall away, Rory fall away. Schauffele has hung in there. Scheffler has obviously hung in there too. I mean, it's ominous for the rest of the field for the weekend, I have to be honest. I think Bryson and Max Homa and Højgaard and Morikawa, these aren't players. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I could see Bryson pushing on to some degree, but you've got to think Scheffler's going to get comfortably into double figures this weekend, and he's the man to beat by some way.
Yeah, and the conditions are going to be much better. Warm, sunny, a lot calmer as well over the weekend. So Scheffler, you'd imagine, be in control. And Bryson DeChambeau, we were talking about on the pod last night, he has had low rounds at Augusta before but hasn't backed them up. Well, he's backed them up now. He's backed up a low round this time. So maybe he has just broken something, found something around Augusta. So you would say of all those players that he might be the challenger. Great effort by Nikolai Højgaard, though, on a debut. There are lots of debutants who we'll talk about in a minute doing well, but Højgaard is the one who stands out for now, Eddie.
Yeah, he's kicking on, isn't he? And he's one of these players this weekend that I could see, if he's there with a shout on Sunday, he's the type of player who could go an Eagle 13 and Eagle 15 and all of a sudden just vault into first place. The way he won Dubai at the end of last year, that's the sort of thing you could see Nikolai Højgaard doing to win, you know, this tournament, quite frankly.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about European debutants in this little European debutants section. European debutants. So there's Højgaard, 73 to follow his 67. He's 4-under. Then Åberg, lowest round of the day, we mentioned that. And Mathieu Pavon, 70-73, he is 1-under. So he qualified for the PGA Tour as one of the top 10 on the DP World Tour. In fact, his finish knocked Rasmus Højgaard down, didn't it?
So he
joined Nikolai, his brother, on the PGA Tour. Pavon then won the Farmers Insurance at Torrey Pines. He's in great shape in his first Masters. We've talked about him quite a bit on the Chipping Forecast. So I went and had a chat with Pavon after his round. Mathieu, I don't know what your expectations were this year coming in as a debutant, but have you surpassed them? Have you done better than you thought you might?
Yeah, even more, because the two last days were very tough. I think it's the toughest that golf course might have even played. I asked guys like Keegan and Tyrell, and Keegan was saying that he can't really remember something harder than that. So yeah, it's way higher than the expectation I was so far this week.
I mean, what a year it's been for you so far. How are you enjoying being mostly in the States now? And obviously the great win at Torrey Pines, your career, your life has changed a bit.
Yes, correct. I love America so much. I think it is the best spot in the world to play professional golf. So being here and being able to kind of achieve that dream, it is just always fun moment, and when you get into majors like the Masters, it's even more awesome.
Yeah. Now, 1-under at the moment, the wind is blowing hard. I don't know what the leading score is going to be at the end of the day, but what are your hopes for the weekend?
I have no really hopes. I think we've done a great job so far with Woody, my caddy. That would be interesting to see how that course plays when the winds drops a little bit. So just having fun, taking pleasure, because it's really a special place, and drop some punts and see how the weekend goes.
Is the Masters everything you thought it would be?
Yeah, it is. It is just an awesome tournament, awesome place, and yeah, I can really understand why players love to come here every year and compete in this tournament.
Well, good luck at the weekend.
Thank you very much.
So there we are. Pavon is just living the dream. He's absolutely loving it. Loving America as well. as well, Eddie. So you've got a take to it, don't you?
I'd love to know what he loves about it, but I'm sure we'll find out one day.
Just winning golf tournaments. Wow. Actually, Mark Sherwood, Woody is his caddy. Now, Pavon switched to him in September last year, an English guy caddy, and it's really since then that his career's taken off. So do you know Woody?
Not that well. I think it reminds me a little bit of Mick, actually. Me and Mick back in 2017, 2018, and same sort of thing. I think Woody's an experienced caddy, quite a strong caddy. It's clearly coming at a good time for Matt and his game. A lot of that can just be coincidence more than anything. But Matt, clearly from September, August last year, has just gone on a run and he's riding this wave of confidence and taking it to the highest level. He's an excellent player, so it's not a huge surprise. But breaking through, and it's good to see. He's a lovely guy.
Mm. English caddy alongside Mathieu Pavon, which leads us into the Best of British section. Best of British. I was about to say three of them and one under and inside the top 10, but only two now because Matt Fitzpatrick has just dropped a shot on the final hole. So he is level for the tournament, tied 15th. So the two English players who are one under par. I mean, Danny Willett, we heard from him last night in the pod after his 6-8. He was putting together a superb round today until the horrors of a triple bogey at the last for a 75, one under total. Still in a great position. But after his 68, I mean, he was on course for a level par 72. That, I think, might have been even better than his 68 in the conditions and backing up with a bit of expectation and pressure now.
Yeah, I agree. I know when he spoke to Anna, I think it's Anna Jackson, actually, at the Sky Sports studio last night, he said that he could go and shoot 80 in round two and he'd be, you know, fine because he's thinking about 6-9 weeks ahead. Well, I guarantee after that triple bogey on the last, he's not so happy. Gutting way to finish, you know, like you say, he's done so much hard work to be right in the tournament and to finish with a triple bogey, six shots behind Scheffler, DeChambeau, Homa. You've got to say that's a mountain that's going to be too high to climb for Danny Willett, unfortunately, this weekend, but still great performance. And obviously you mentioned Tommy too. Yeah, again, he's a bit like Xander Schauffele. He's still right there. I've seen very little of him on television, but he's right there. He's a great ball striker and he's you wouldn't be surprised if he pumps in a little 4 or 5 under par tomorrow and he's, you know, in with a shout come Sunday.
You've betrayed yourself. Your loyalties have been shown, or your disloyalty, because that answer that you said that he gave to Anna in the Sky Sports interview, he gave that exact answer to me in the Chipping Forecast exclusive interview that we did with him as well. So Danny Willett. And lo and behold, you quote a rival, it's not a rival interview. What am I talking about? Sky Sports up against a pod. Although I've noticed again, and I don't say this lightly or glibly, but during this week, our podcast, The Chipping Forecast, I don't know why I had to remind you of the name of it there, has leapt into the top 10 sports podcasts in the UK. So people are listening and we do genuinely appreciate that. So thank you for coming along.
On this question, journey. Maybe only the producer can answer though. Is that because of the sheer amount of volume that we're putting out there, or is this
it's a combination.
Okay, yeah.
So it's a combination. No. Ollie, producer, has said that a couple of the episodes have gotten just an enormous amount of downloads. So, and I think
I'm just wondering if it's a bit like, you know, when you go to a little Tesco's and it's got a Terry's chocolate orange at a pound, whether for all of a sudden sales just go through the roof because Terry's is a pound, and you know, I would buy a Terry's chocolate orange for £2. But a lot of people would buy two for £1, you know. So no. I just was curious.
But the difference between that analogy with the Terry's chocolate orange is fine, but it breaks down in that people are still paying money for the Terry's chocolate orange. People aren't paying anything for this gift of a podcast, the gift of Golf Chat, free to you on the Chipping Forecast. On McIlroy, so they were playing the last at the moment. You can, without giving us any sort of commentary on it, you can update us on how they're getting on the 18:30 because you've got the TV on. Maybe it's on an ad break. It's always on an ad break. But
I don't know. Rory's tee shot, I didn't see where it finished, but I've just seen him hit a second shot with a wood. I don't know where he is on the golf course. He's going to be scrambling to make the cut at this rate.
Well, he is. No, but having said that, if he and others, Ram has finished now in 5 over. In fact, Justin Thomas, I think, has got, so it's gone to 6 the cut now. So that brings in God. Jose Maria Olazabal's going to make the cut after a 73 today. That's a superb effort.
So Hideki just doubled the last to go from 4 to 6 over. Your pick, thinking he's missed the cut. He's playing with Justin Thomas, who's 5 over, missed a putt for bogey to go to 7 over, which then he's missed the cut by a shot. okay. I mean, they're just dropping this 18th hole, the tee shot on 18. We spoke about it last week, didn't we, with Lottie. And, you know, even in calm conditions, that is such a difficult tee shot with the wind howling off the left. Some of the tee shots I've seen off that hole today are just incredible.
Well, that must be where McIlroy is. I mean, that's where Danny Willett was. He was almost down the 10th. So actually, you mentioned our bets. So Hideki Matsuyama in great form coming in, 6 over, a double. So he is going to make the cut. So who knows? He could still do it. Eddie, you had Shane Lowry, didn't you?
Mm.
Yeah, 3 over, 73-74. Ian had Brooks Koepka, 2 over, 73-73. So Ian, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king, and one-eyed Ian is king at the moment, with Koepka just about shading it over Shane Lowry, but a long way to go. And who knows, Hideki Matsuyama might come back. We've given up on actually trying to get one of our picks to win the green jacket itself. It's just all about who can win our little battle. Tiger Woods, I've almost enjoyed recent Tiger Woods more than in his pomp, because his body doesn't do it anymore, but his mind and his skill and his craft and his short game does. And working his way around the course and making, I mean, not just making the cuts, but actually, where's Tiger? Tiger's 1 over. So Tiger's just outside the top 20. And I just thought it was really enjoyable to watch the way he got around this course.
Yeah, me too. I sometimes wonder if Tiger tries to do too much watching him play golf these days. I mean, a course like Augusta forces you to do more than your average, more than you do on an average round of golf anyway. And of course, in conditions like this, even more so. And I think that's why we've seen, you know, a player like Rory today really struggle. I think he's a bit too one-dimensional to play the kind of artsy, crafty type golf that Tiger and Phil Mickelson and these guys are just so capable of. But I do think there's another side to that as well. And you know, you look at Scottie Scheffler, yeah, he can play these shots, but one thing Scottie can also do is hit the repetitive six iron after six iron, driver after driver. And that's the thing that Tiger seemingly, unfortunately, and it could just be age, he's just maybe not got that the way he used to. But to your point, watching him play around here, it's a bit like Phil Mickelson. You know, he's made the cut as well. I mean, we see Danny Willett. It's a horses for courses type course, clearly. And players who know how to get around Augusta just always know how to get around Augusta. It's amazing. Yeah.
I don't know if they showed the pictures. I mean, they must have, because he was on the 18th green. They must have in the UK showed Tiger on the 18th. But the sandstorm that was blown up out of the bunkers when he was putting at the last, it was incredible.
And the greens now, the balls that are landing, it's, you know, sand is puffing up. It's as if they're playing in Bahrain on a sand course or whatever. That, you know, it's there's just sand all over that green.
Mm. Well, I mean, in future, the Masters may be in Bahrain. We don't know. It's the way the world, the game is going. So.
Inevitably.
Right, so Rory, I mean, you touched upon it there, and I think it is probably, you know, a lot of people do think that maybe he is, and it's a brilliant one dimension that he has, but there isn't quite that way of, especially when the wind gets up. Now, that has long been a criticism, and he's won in windy conditions before. So, well, there's enough Rory McIlroy love from this podcast for his talent and his genius, but it's interesting watching him try to cope with fiddly conditions, if we can call it that.
Yeah, Paul McGinley talked about it just a short while ago on the coverage and talked about his, I think, highest ever winning score, lowest winning score being minus 13. You know, Rory isn't one of these players that tends to win certainly big tournaments when minus 3, minus 4, minus 5 wins. So clearly when he comes up against the best players in the world, like the Scottie Schefflers and the John Rahms, you know, he does invariably fall just short when there's maybe a bit more required. And I don't think it's an unfair thing to say of Rory that he has got a one-dimensional game. I think he's phenomenal at it. And that's why when he plays in the Middle East, he always wins. I mean, that is a region that just rewards bombing it off the tee and, you know, hitting these high eight irons. And that's something that Rory's magnificent at. But again, to your point, winning an Augusta in these conditions, he's not going to win this major tournament because of Friday's weather. And, you know, you do wonder, well, I mean, it might be too late in the day to make the necessary changes, but I would love to see Rory try to make some technical changes to help him hit the shots that he needs to hit.
Mm, he's finished. He's finished with a par. Is he par the last? That's incredible. Anyway, so tied 35th, 4 over par, Rory McIlroy. Had an email from a listener, John. Says, love the podcast, truly inspiring. Thank you, John. Been thinking about Rory. It's been 10 years of he'll win another major soon. I'll be delighted if I'm ever proved wrong, but it's starting to feel a bit like Monty is bound to win a major before long. We'd be interested to know what you think, especially Eric. John's not interested in my thoughts, but yeah, it's true. People do say it, Eddie, don't they? Oh, you'll win another major, or you'll win a Masters, but you never know. You can't guarantee that, and there are more and more players coming through.
Yeah, you do never know. I the more I think about this course, the more it strikes me that he doesn't feel that comfortable on it. He doesn't look that comfortable on it. I thought yesterday's round was such a breakthrough for Rory. You know, this round on Friday is a disappointing one to take, and then maybe these weather conditions came at the wrong time for him. You know, I think the course round here, again, we've talked about it just now, it requires so much of you, so much variation, and I'm just not sure Rory's got that in the tank, frankly, to go and win a Masters. I hope to be proven wrong, but again, I do think Rory's got more majors in him. He's in great physical shape. I still think psychologically he's very strong. I would look at his golf swing and look at how that's evolved, particularly since he's tried to gain distance. You know, he's gotten this thing moving across the line. It doesn't look the way it used to look. And I much prefer Rory's swing of 2019, where he had it a bit more laid off and he just had the ball control.
Yeah, Scheffler's finished level par round of 72 today, which is very, very good. So 6 under. So he's alongside Homa, DeChambeau, Scheffler. They're the leaders at 6 under. Then Højgaard at 4 under. Davis and Morikawa, 3 under. Good round by Morikawa today. And he's not been playing too well. So then Obert, 2 under. Pavon, Young, Fleetwood at 1 under alongside Willett, Fox, and Smith. Big group on 1 under par. But those are the players inside the top 10. Leading amateur, the only amateur to make the cut, Neil Shipley. Neil Shipley, who is the 23-year-old from Pittsburgh. He is a big lad, a big old unit, 6'3" and wide as well. He lost the final of the US Amateur to Nick Dunlap at Cherry Hills. Dunlap going on to turn pro after winning on tour. Neil Shipley follows 1,303 people on Instagram. What's the point of that? What, you're not going to see? Well, he's just doing political follows there. He's just doing this person. I've been forced into following this person. Why? How many people do you follow on? You don't do Instagram, do you?
I very rarely follow new people. Mm. I would be more of the Ian Brown mold of, I'd be closer to zero followers than old Neil's Yard.
Neil's Yard. Neil Shipley is going to win the low amateur. Speaking of Instagram, just briefly, Andrew Coulthard posted a photo with Laura Davis and Butch Harmon and tagged in their username. So I then went to Butch Harmon's Instagram. I thought, well, I wonder what that looks like. He's just posted the exact same photo 5 times. I don't think he's quite got Instagram. I can hear him saying, I don't think that posted. I'll do it again. I don't think that posted. It's just the same photo 5 times. Anyway, you'll like this, Eddie. Speaking of Andrew Coulthard, I was at a function here and I found myself having a brief chat with Jay Monahan. And Jay Monahan heartily congratulated me on my commentary, but also my playing career on tour. And I quickly realized that he thought he was talking to Andrew Coulthard. And I made that mistake of not correcting him immediately. So I just kind of had to make my excuses and leave. So he forever will think that I had a good chat with Andrew Coulthard. Seems a scrawnier guy than I remember, actually. But there we are.
Oh, it's very good. I enjoyed that.
doesn't sound like you did. Jason Day or Sergio Garcia for the worst outfits yesterday. Which would you... We didn't get your thoughts on Jason Day or Sergio Garcia.
I think Jason Day's outfit today topped both of them yesterday. I mean,
really? I didn't see it. What was it?
Somebody needs to pull him aside and have a serious word with him. His clothes are dreadful. Hmm. Sergio just chose to look like a clown yesterday, but he can dress well. Wearing his live gear. I mean, he could still dress well, but I don't think it's possible for Jason Day to actually dress well in the brand of clothing that he's wearing.
Oh, that's a shame. No, it's no True Links wear. There's a freebie for you, Holly Wilson. Before we leave you on this chipolata of the chipping forecast, we'll talk about Scotty Scheffler's putting. Or rather, I want to hear from the man, the Englishman, for he is an Englishman, who is his guru in that department. Phil Kenyon, in fact, is the putting coach for no fewer than 8 players in the Masters field. So I had a chat with him today just up by the clubhouse, and I began by testing him as if he were a parent with 8 children and he has to name them. And he did well. Here we are. Here's Phil.
Justin Rose, Keegan Bradley, Max Homer, Tommy Fleetwood, Gary Woodland, Russell Henley, Matthew Fitzpatrick and Scotty Scheffler.
Okay, you're not doing too badly. How do you manage them in a week like this then? How do you distribute your time and work with them each independently?
Yeah, it can be a little tricky. I'll kind of booking times with the players that you know, each player tends to sort of structure their day in advance or book in time slots to see them. I mean, luckily, like I fairly regular contact with all of the players, so it's not like you're having to cram stuff in, and it is the week of a major, so everyone really does know what they're doing, and you're there more, you know, kind of supervising practice, overseeing and making sure nothing's going wrong.
Now, the biggest star in the game at the moment is Scottie Scheffler. So much is said about his putting, and recently he seems to have been putting pretty well. So how would you gauge him as a putter, and what has he been trying to work on, if you can tell us that?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of his troubles have been documented. I kind of started working with him at the end of last year. You know, we've made some sort of technical changes at the back end of last year. And this year, really, it's been more about trying to trust those changes and less kind of technical thought and more kind of tapping into his instincts and trying to be sort of freer in his approach. I think when you do make changes and you're trying to improve technically, it's easy to become a kind of perfectionist or, you know, constantly be thinking about those, trying to make perfect strokes. And we're trying to make sure he doesn't go down that route and tap into his athleticism. He's probably one of the most gifted golfers I've ever come across. So we're trying to get him to tap into that.
You'll be very much of the opinion that you can make people who are not naturally great putters into very good putters.
Well, we're born with very few instincts, you know, and the ability to putt isn't one of them. So I think things like that can be learned. For some people, it's maybe a little harder than others. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm never going to be able to hit the ball 360 yards. Okay.
Come on, be optimistic.
No, not my size, or my age. So there's a certain amount of physical ability that you would need to do that. But with putting, you know, there isn't the same sort of physical ability required. Mental capability, certainly. But I think it's a skill that you can learn over time.
Scottie Scheffler seems like one of the nicest guys out there. How is he to work with?
He's exactly how he comes across. He's a lovely bloke. He's very competitive and extremely hard worker. But he's nice with it.
Right. I'm going to try and demand a free putting lesson for all our listeners on the Chipping Forecast. What if someone was starting putting, is there anything you would recommend to them left below right? Or one thing that you see a fatal flaw in amateurs all the time?
Well, there's no one perfect way to do it, really. So it's quite difficult when I get asked that question a lot. I mean, and it's easy. I think naturally people gravitate towards like technique or what's the best technique I should employ. If you look at putting, it's more of a case of like you've got what the skills you need to do to putt well. And you need to be able to start the ball online, control speed, read a green. So I'd look at it more from a skill set. You know, what are the skills I have and what are the skills that I need to improve? And there are variety of different techniques that you could employ. So, you know, have a lesson with a coach that you can trust and they will help you develop the appropriate techniques for you, hopefully.
Yeah. Or be like me, I talk about it all the time in the Chipping Forecast. I just don't putt. I just pick the ball up in the green, give myself two putts.
I do that myself, actually.
Don't put that on your website.
Well, no, I don't have, when I do get out to play, I don't have much chance. It's a few holes at night and I just like hitting. And then I get to the green and I pick up.
Oh, this is tremendous. I found a kindred spirit. That's exactly the thing. It's time. I like hitting the shots and just moving on.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, okay. So you listed your players who are in the field this year, and you know, a few might well be in contention. Certainly one or two will be in contention. Are they like your children? You don't care who wins, or have you got a... Who... going to bring this one. Who would you like to win this week?
It's a difficult one because I always find... If there's someone doing well, you're always more concerned about the person who's not doing so well that week. So I'd be quite happy if any of the guys I work with had the opportunity to put that green jacket on.
I'm sure you'll enjoy it anyway. Phil, thanks for talking to us. All those players in the field. And there we are, a tip from Phil Kenyon. Follow his routine, my routine. Just pick up on the green. Just pick up and move on. Cheers, Phil.
Brilliant. Thank you, Andrew.
So Phil Kenyon there, well, he started by listing his players and he did it well, but he did actually have to read them off a list on his phone. Isn't he doing well, as Bruce Forsyth would have said?
that's a cue for Ian to just suddenly step in. But it, I mean, isn't Phil Ken? I mean, Phil Ken, the list of players he's working with and Scottie Scheffler at the top of the moment, it's incredible.
Yeah, I feel like I can tell this story about Phil because he's had so much success since. In fact, there's two very good stories with Phil. I'll leave one for another time. But I once worked with Phil in my rookie year, and I went to see him the week before playing in Morocco. And on the Thursday, it was very windy, a bit like what we saw today. And what I was working on was a setup change. And it felt so uncomfortable for me that when going into setup on the fourth hole, I hit my ball and so incurred a two-shot penalty. And at that point, I realized, well, I can't make this change. This is ridiculous. So
it doesn't work for everybody.
My experience with Phil wasn't as positive as obviously he's and listen, things that was a long time ago. And that's probably more me than Phil. But both him and Mike Kansky, who I've spent time with in the past, they worked together. They're a fantastic pair. And great guy. Phil is good fun and a great character. So it's good to see him having the success he's having.
Yeah, very nice man. And Scheffler is putting well. So we're going to leave you now. I think, I mean, everybody's just about finished. I think the last group is on the final hole. I mean, it's almost out. They've only just done this. They have only just managed it. Just about. But anyway, we are looking forward to just a quick reminder of the way the leaderboard looks again. Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, Scottie Scheffler all tied at 6-under, Højgaard 4-under, Davis Morikawa on 3-under, Hubert on 2-under, then a big group on 1-under, including Tommy Fleetwood and Danny Willett. So we're set up for the weekend at the Masters. The weather is set fair. It's not going to be nearly as windy. And in fact, on that note, I'll say goodbye to Eddie. Bye-bye, Eddie.
Good night.
Good night. Sleep well, Eddie. And I will leave you with the... I'm going to go outside and record some of the wind chimes here at this house. It's just extraordinary. But there we are. We'll end on that.
Like a scene from Twister. Cows flying everywhere.
So the second day of the Masters is done. Time for you to get some rest now. Oh no, it's not. It's the morning when you're listening. So get up, get out there. Go and drop the kids off with Weekend Dad. Bye for now.